Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
John, you haven't answered the question yet, John. The punchability, yeah, one through four.
I just answered it for him. It's Mike Bell. He going down the list. It's Mike Bell.
I'm just saying, what about the other three, though?
So he's swinging on Carl.
No, Carl would really take me down.
Oh, so it's Buck. It's got to be Andy then.
Oh, he picking
up. I guess it's Andy because I got a chance. I got a puncher's chance against Andy, okay? The other three, I don't have a bunch of puncher's chance against.
Hey, but you know what, though? You know what, John? You might bring punching Andy in here.
I might. And I have no desire to punch Andy. I have no...
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
The pumps make the yams more yammier.
The whats make the whats more whattier.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Yeah. Just say don't eat me. That's all. That's all I wanted to say.
Wait, what?
All right, so is our show started now? Got it. Good morning. Welcome in, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. It is a beautiful Trillville Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us on the Midday Show. Good morning, Randy.
Hey, what's happening, man? It is Trillville. Glad Oren got the cut right. As you can see, the Freaky trying to pick his battles. I like my chance. I like your chance against Freaky because Freaky old. And every time you talk about punching in the head, I always think about the movie Gladiator, not the one with Russell Crowe, but the one with Cuba Gooding Jr. and the young kid put his head down, the dude punched his head and broke his hand.
Uh-huh.
Top of the head, hardest part of the body. I mean, I can see you doing that and Freaky breaking his hand because anybody who throws out their shoulder bowling don't want none of them problems, man. Don't want none of them problems. So I'm firmly behind the fact that Andy ain't no easy win, and Andy bust up Freaky because them shoes ain't got no grip. And we talked about Randy's ramble. You got to have shoes that have grip if you're trying to fight.
Yeah. I mean, you're not going to be able to throw a very effective punch with lawn mowing shoes on.
Plus,
they're heavy shoes. He did throw out his shoulder playing bowling. Now, I understand the idea of if you have to pick between you, me, Carl, and Mike. Like, I'm not the biggest. I'm bigger than Mike, but in a different, like, I'm taller than him. I'm not maybe quite as stout.
But freaking got reach on Mike.
Yeah. But I get his thought process. I just, I think it's probably 0 for 4 for Freaky. Like, I don't think it's going to go good no matter which one of us he punches. Now, I didn't need Hugh's little jab at the end there either about careful with my head because I do have a big head, although it is true. Fair enough. I do have that. But I don't know that I'm – I mean, I know
you – he's a win, dog.
You have – no, I'm not. No, absolutely not.
Okay.
There we go. It's not going to go well. But I don't know that I have it in me like you do, a 75-year-old man.
I ain't never said I beat up no 75. No.
On multiple occasions.
What'd I say?
And this is the situation we're talking about. If a 75-year-old man hits you with this walker, you'd lay him out.
You're damn right.
And that's kind of what we're talking about with Freaky. Like, if he's like 70.
Don't put your hands on me, especially if I ain't called for you to put your hands on me.
If you have an AARP card, I probably shouldn't punch you in the face.
Man, if he hits you, you hit him back. Because the thing about it, AARP card, no, he groaned. He's grown so
much he started shrinking again, though.
Please.
Like, you know when people get to a certain age and then they go back in the other direction? Like, yeah. That, it just feels like Hugh's probably right. Like, the osteoporosis, like, you're talking about the calcium buildup that grandma has in her hand. Yeah. He might be even past, he's to the osteoporosis bones part of it, where if he were to punch me, it might just disintegrate.
I'm telling you right now. Don't, see, your problem is, see, this is my thing with you, Andy. Be confrontational. Say, freaking, you ain't gonna do nothing to me. Like, don't be logicalizing and all that stuff.
I'm just going through his thought process.
No, I get where he's
coming from.
The thought process is, and now we know this will never happen, so we're just having fun.
Yeah, it's just all
but
fun.
But if Freaky came at you with his chest out, you bust him in his
that's what would have to happen. I mean, my punching days are behind me if I can help it. But there are certain situations where, you know, you might have to swing on somebody. And you're right. If John Fricke was to try to punch me in the face, I would have to knock John Fricke out.
There you go. And that's all I want to hear, right?
I wouldn't be happy about it.
No.
But I'd have to do it.
How the hell aren't you happy about punching somebody in the chin that tried you first?
I just, you know, you just that would I would have that immediate feel. Oh, man, I hope I didn't really hurt him. I hope he's okay. It would feel terrible. Speaking of getting punched in the face, I was metaphorically getting punched in the face by everyone that listens to the show.
Now he's going to dribble in towards the lane, throw it underneath. He goes to Gallo. Danilo Gallinari posted up. Now he's double teamed. Skylar Bayes goes back to Gallo. Wide open, right side three. This time is good again. Danilo Gallinari wide open, and he hits the three, and the Hawks lead by nine again. 30.
Yeah, that was one of them. There was nine others in the game last night, which was a Hawks record. Danilo Gallinari sets the Hawks franchise record.
Tony in the middle with four. Now to Gallo. From the logo. He's got it. He's got it. From the logo. And the Hawks 58-34.
On a day where I may have said that Danilo Gallinari was the worst
Tony
player
down
on the
lane.
Team.
Tony back out to Gallo. He's wide open again. And he hits again. Danilo Gallinari. 55-34 on top.
Yeah. So there you go. There you have it. Not my finest moment in terms of
straight away three. No good. That was wide left. John Collins gets the ricochet rebound, though. Out to Gallo. He fakes. Now it's three. And he makes another one. 10 3-pointers.
Yeah, that's the Hawks franchise record. It was just ridiculous. What a night Danilo Gallinari had last night. Of course, it makes it funnier given the trash about Danilo Gallinari on the show yesterday too. Now I don't regret anything I said about Danilo Gallinari because I believe every bit of it. Everything I said about him yesterday was true.
That was all chest. That was all chest that you were speaking with yesterday.
I was,
Andy.
And I believe it. I believe everything that I said about him yesterday.
And
he had a great game last night, though, and I got to hand it to him.
And that's the thing about it. You give credit where credit's due, but you don't back. What do I always tell you, man? Drink your coffee alone. It ain't nothing wrong with drinking coffee by yourself.
Yeah.
All right?
Right.
You was out there, but a lot of people felt like you felt, but because you got a mic, so it's coming back on you.
Said it a little extra spicy, too.
You were chesty with it yesterday when you were talking about him. Like, you could feel it in your soul that you was upset with his brother.
It was pent up. I was mad at Gallinari for like a month.
But the thing about it is that I'm going to go with you on this more than him playing like he played last night. And he was outstanding last night. I would take nothing away. I mean, he could not miss. Everything he threw up went in. Mm-hmm. I thought Trey was wilding in the first half. If that's in that first quarter, go ahead. Because that's that okay, y'all got these two all-stars. I mean, he was going at him, and when he went behind his back down the lane and hit that float, I was like, oh, he on one tonight. But I love the next possession because Jalen went up to him and was like, no, not today, and ripped him. Uh-huh. The very next possession just went like, all right, give me this light little him. But the thing about it was, I thought overall they made shots. 23 made field goals. I mean, 3-point field goals.
Yeah.
You should win those games.
You're going to, yeah. I mean, that also was a franchise record. The Hawks never made 23 threes in a game before. If you shoot 55% from three, I mean, there's a lot of things that if they had last night on any night, the Hawks are going to win the game. 23 threes, yeah. 55% from three, no matter how many you shoot, probably going to win. If you get 38 points from Danilo Gallinari off the bench, you're going to win that basketball game.
You should, yeah.
And that's something that we've been asking for from this team for like the whole year, especially since DeAndre Hunter went out with an injury, is who's going to be the other guy to step up and give you some production when Trey's on like he was last night? Capella didn't have his best game last night. John Collins, you know, those guys are helping, but who's going to be that secondary playmaking scoring option on a nightly basis so Trey doesn't have to score 33 and 15 in order for you to win a basketball game? And last night it was Danilo Gallinari, and whatever it was that got him to do what he if it was me reverse jinxing him being chesty on the radio. Okay, great. Awesome. Fantastic. I don't think that I have that type of control, but if I do, awesome. If it was the way that the game ended on Tuesday night and all the flack that he took from the way that that game ended, great. But whatever it was that he showed up to the arena with last night, I hope he can bottle like half of that right. And just have that for the rest of the season, because like 38 points, even if Danilo Gallinari was playing like we thought he was going to play all year, would be spectacular. If he can be anything close to what he thought he was going to be, it's going to really help the Hawks, because with so many guys out and so many guys injured, you have to count on the people that you actually have. And it was unbelievable to see what Danilo Gallinari did last night. And everyone that went in, my mentions again, people are getting in my DMs, giving me a hard time.
It was your DMs too?
And on Instagram, people are sending me Facebook messages. I had a UPS man show up to the door and deliver me a package. Like,
wow.
It was people trash talking me from every angle. And understandably so. I will take that one and run with it. But yeah, great to see last night.
I look at it as a one-off, man, and it happens. And that's fine. Like I said, we have this job and we say things, and when we say something like you said yesterday and it goes and it backfires, then it's all, you know.
Kevin's going to come back the other way. Quick pass over to Gallo. Left side, open three. Bang! Danilo Gallinari! 94-67, the Hawks on top.
And those things happen, dog. But you're a good sport about it and everything. So, but because me and Wendy were talking about the reverse jinx, because we had this thing with Julio Tehran,
yeah, you used
and everything.
To do Julio Tehran.
And the thing about
minutes.
It is, it's a good. It's all in fun. But the real deal, and I'm not gonna get caught up in that night last night to think, well, what would this team look like with him playing the way he played? Not necessarily hitting all the threes in third, just playing as well as he played. Mm-hmm. And then you got DeAndre Hunter, and you got a healthy Cam, mm-hmm. and you got what would it look like, a healthy Bogey? I mean, those are the things that you think about when you see what Gallinari can do. You look at it, and for that performance right there, and I'm just talking about strictly last night, that's why they went and got him.
Yep.
Because he has those capabilities. Now, has he showed it this year? Nope.
Nope.
And do I think he'll be like that again? I'll go on a limb and say no.
Yeah.
Just to build off of that. And so we'll see how it goes. But, I mean, you can't take nothing away from how spectacular he was last night, because he was. He was really good last night. Trey was really good. And the Celtics are just struggling, man. They are really struggling. Didn't play well last night. Jason Tatum didn't play well last night. And, I mean, for Boston, it's amazing that Marcus Smart's not a big scorer. He's not a big assist guy. He's just that dog that they, mm-hmm. it seemed like they're missing him.
Well, he got a technical foul last night, not even playing. Just sitting on the sideline, trash-talking Trey, basically telling him if I was in the game, you wouldn't be doing this, essentially. But yeah, I mean, he does. He brings that edge to that team that team does not really have without him. I thought the last two nights, unfortunately, were kind of like a perfect microcosm of what it is right now to be talking about these Atlanta Hawks. They can lose to anybody, and they can do it in heartbreaking fashion like they did on Tuesday night to Cavs, who had lost 10 straight games, and they can beat anybody, and they can do it in spectacular fashion like they did last night against the Celtics. I mean, they were up 25 points at times last night against. And again, I understand the Celtics aren't the same team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals the last couple of years. They're not playing that way right now. That's a good win.
Yeah.
It's win coming off the loss to the Cavs, and it's just it's a win that this team needed.
And they won the way I need them to win. Don't make it close.
Yeah. They won the way they know how to win. No doubt about that. They blew the Celtics out last night. We'll come back. We'll get into what's trending, including what Trae Young thinks is beautiful.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful.
What's he talking about? We'll find out next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Trey doubled up for the moment. Now he gets it out to Gallo. A long left side three is good again. Oh, oh my. 61-37, Hawks on top.
Ladies and gentlemen, time now for What's Trending.
A look at the top trending headlines of the day.
Oh my God.
Brought to you by Reliable Heating and Air. Get early bird savings now. Get over $3,000 in cash initiatives on heating and cooling systems from Reliable Heating and Air.
Now Skylar Mays, a straightaway three. No good. That was wide left. John Collins gets the ricochet rebound, though. Out to Gallo. He fakes. Now he's going to shoot the three. And he makes another one. 10 three-pointers. A new Hawks record. Oh, my goodness. Gallo, 107-83.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful. I'm not even going to lie to you. It's so fun seeing him shoot. Like, how effortlessly, he does it. And just the way he shoots and the way he knows how to pick apart the defenses. I knew it was only a matter of time before he got hot. So it was good to have him get hot tonight.
Yeah, Trae Young talking about the game that Danilo Gallinari had last night. Trae was hot, too, 33 points, yeah. Especially in the first quarter. Just came out absolutely guns a-blazing last night against the Celtics. Danilo Gallinari did it all night long. He hit 10 threes, which is a record for the Hawks franchise. And Trey's right. Like, when he gets it going, he doesn't barely jump. Yeah. He just barely flicks his wrist in the ball. I mean, he hit that one from the logo, and it was almost no effort whatsoever. Like, when he gets cooking, which he did last, we haven't seen much this year, but we saw it last night. It's a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, the guy can shoot the ball. He can flat out shoot it when he's in his groove and when comfortable and all those things. Excuse me. But, it was a great performance by him. Great performance by Trae. And, you know, the Celtics are not really playing well. But, I mean, what do I always say? That's a them problem. I don't take nothing away from this win right here the Hawks had.
It's the same team that beat them by, 30 on Friday. So.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So that's a them problem. But I thought, it's key that they get Gallo in a rhythm like that, man. It really is, because the one thing about him is that he can't create his own shot necessarily, so you got to give him the ball. And you saw that when he had it going, they made a concerted effort to get him the ball.
Yes.
You know, it was like he'd run him off double screens, come pick and roll, all these things to get him free, and he was able to cash in. Now, can he build off that performance? We'll see.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll see, because he's going to get opportunities, Andy, because you know what? They still thin on that roster. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, he's going to continue to get those minutes and get the opportunities to build off of what he did last night.
The other good news last night, a lot of good news. The win was just so desperately needed after what happened against the Cavs on Tuesday night. John Collins played last night, so, you know, the head injury that he sustained in the Cavs game wasn't as bad as feared. Didn't have to go into the concussion protocol, so he was in there last night.
Because what was baffling about the whole John Collins thing, because the report came out is that he got checked out yesterday when they got back to Atlanta.
Yeah.
And if he was ruled out with a concussion, then he wouldn't have been back to after the All-Star break. I was like, hold on. Because when I saw him, I was like, well, hell, it must not have been that serious, because they said if he was diagnosed with the concussion, was able to go last night, then he would have been out to the All-Star break.
Right. And I think that's just because the concussion protocol is as lengthy as it is. And they play their next four games in 6 days. They play tomorrow, Sunday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before the All-Star break. At Oklahoma City, at Miami, and then at Orlando. And then they get a few days off for the All-Star break. And, you know, we talked about it yesterday with a little bit of a different energy, probably, coming out of the loss to Cleveland. You just have a little bit of a different feel after last night's win. But I still need them to get two or three of these next four going into this All-Star break and be as close to 500 as you can. And the reality is, if they win all of them, they go into the All-Star break 500, which would be phenomenal given what's been thrown at this basketball team.
Yeah, it would be. And hopefully by then you can get a lot of you guys back. We know yesterday that the NBA, they released the second half schedule. Man, that West Coast trip they got coming up.
No kidding. 8 straight road games on the West Coast. And obviously anybody who's been watching the NBA this year knows West Coast teams are pretty good.
Yeah, man.
Utah's the best team in the NBA right now. The Suns are good. The Lakers are good. I mean, that's going to be one of those ones that at the end of the year you look back and say, okay, they went 4-4. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Or that's when the wheels fell off, because they went out there and just came up against some really good competition. And hopefully by the time they get to that part of the schedule, they do have guys back, like you're talking about, Randy. The other thing about the second half schedule that came out is they got 6 national TV games in the second half of the season.
I guess they respect it.
They got their respect finally. There you go. As disrespected at the beginning of the year as they were.
Yeah.
And they ended up on one ESPN game anyway in the first half because it got flexed in. But, yeah, they got one ESPN game in the second half, one TNT game, which is, I mean, I don't remember the last time they played on TNT. So that'll be fun to get the inside the NBA guys actually talking about them in the game that they're playing. And then 4 NBA TV games as well. So, yeah, I mean, you know, they're better than they were last year. So they got more national TV games than they did last year.
And there it is. What do we say? You get more games if you play better.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
I mean, it took them last night was their 32nd game of the year, and they got their 14th win. It took them 50 games last year to get their 14th win. So they're better than they were last season. Still have a long way to go, but they're better than they were last season. We'll get back into some NBA All-Star Game stuff coming up in about 15 minutes with Brian Gebhardt. Also, some interesting rumblings out of the NFL world, Russell Wilson related. I mean, this is Randy's been all over this one for a couple months now. It sounds like it's getting really real with the Russell Wilson trade possibilities. One of the possible trade destinations, though, Falcons fans are not going to like. We'll get to that in an NFL no huddle. Before we get to any of it, though, here's Arthur Smith.
We'll look for help anywhere, and we'll look to add. So, again, a lot of that plays into the salary cap, who's available, who you can sign, who you can draft, and it's all in play.
So that's Arthur Smith, the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons, kind of saying similar things to what Terry Fontenot has said, which is everything's on the table. Mm-hmm. There was a mock draft that came out this morning, Randy, by Mel Kiper on ESPN.com, where he's got the Falcons not trading back, not staying at four, but trading up to number two with the Jets and selecting Zach Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, you know, okay.
Yeah, the only appropriate response.
Okay, I mean, if that's their guy and you need to go get him, go get him. All right, cool, whatever. But I, you know, because Jets don't take him, Miami's not going to take him, so I think he'll be right there for you if you want him at four. But I mean, these are mock drafts. It's mock draft season. How many times are they going to have the whatever that damn mock? What is it called? The mock draft tracker, whatever thing that Mike Bell does, like 20 mocks a day. That thing. So I mean, it's going to be all the and the thing with it is that nobody knows right now. I'm sure the Falcons don't even know who they're going to take yet.
Probably not.
Yeah, they don't even know who they're going to take yet because they still haven't dealt with what they have right now. And yeah. And so I mean, these are the things that are. I guess fun, get people riled up for some odd reason and whatever. But the draft is so far away. The Falcons have not decided what they want to do. All they know probably right now is that if they get the right offer, they'll move for. I think that's a definite right now. They get the right offer, they'll move out of four. But right now they have not zeroed in on anybody right now at the number four pick.
I really would love to know, and Mel Kiper will never tell us. I mean, there's no reason for a magician to reveal his secrets, but
right.
Like he'll come out with another mock draft in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And it'll have the Falcons taking Penny Sewell from Oregon or trading out of four back in the draft or something like that. Like does his intel actually change, or does he just say, all right, it'll be fun to get Falcons fans riled up with this mock draft. This mock draft, I'm going to get another fan base riled up. Like I do wonder what it's actually based on, if it's based on anything at all.
But as I'm saying, it's a hunch off of him.
I think that's what it is.
I'm not going to take anything away. Mel knows people in front offices, but they're not going to give Mel their draft strategy.
Certainly not on February
25th. Yeah, they're not going to give you a draft, you know, and all those things. This is what Mel does. Mel's been doing this thing probably before I was born. Mel's been doing this a long time.
And that's the bottom line.
Yeah, Mel's been doing it a long time, and this was his first time that Mel's ever done a trade in his mock. He usually does a straight-up no-trade type thing. And so, but I mean, okay.
He was the only one that had the Falcons taking Calvin Ridley in his mock draft a few years back. So, I mean, I guess throwing stuff at the wall does work at times. Here's Brian Snitker talking about Christian Pache.
He's not a polished player yet. I mean, there's still room to grow. Say, he's really fast. He's not a real good base stealer. We've encouraged him to run more, you know, and I think that's something that guys have to want to do that.
Yeah, I mean, he's, of course, Christian Pache is like 22 years old. There's a ton of growth to come for him in his game. And, you know, we saw it last year when he had to play the at-bats and the games that he played in the playoffs. It just wasn't as ready for playoff pitching as you would want a guy to be in that situation. Defensively, he's ready. Like, he's good to go. It's just a matter of what he's going to be able to do at the plate and if he can get on base consistently enough to justify having him in the lineup. I hope he can, because I'd love to see that young dude in center field every day.
Yeah, I mean, that's a bit – I mean, but how can he grow if you don't let him play?
That's right.
I mean, that's the biggest thing with these young players. You got to get them out there, get them some at-bats and all these things. And, you know, I mean, we were having fun yesterday, and what if Ender beats him out and all those things? Ender should not beat out Christian Pache. If Christian Pache is who they tell us he is.
Yep.
Period.
Totally.
That should not happen.
Given who Ender Inciarte is
given who
today,
he is, and ma- given
maybe
who
– if yeah. Ender was who he was 4 or 5 years ago, okay, you could beat him out. But not right now. Not from what we've seen from him the last couple of years. Yeah. Pache should be able to outplay him in spring training and be on the opening day roster, and hopefully he can, and hopefully that's how they make the decision. Hopefully it's not, service time manipulation and all that kind of stuff. I am interested to see, because I know that the Mariners president had to resign earlier this week for a bunch of dumb stuff that he said.
Yeah.
One of the things that he did say was that, like, you don't hear team presidents or front office people, like, actually acknowledge that they do service time manipulation. They pretend that they don't. Like, he straight up admitted it. I wonder if that has any impact on the negotiating next time around in the CBA. Like, this dude, all right, this dude told us you do it, okay?
But everybody knows, so I know, don't know.
But he said it, though. You know? Yeah. He said the thing you don't say. Hopefully it does. Hopefully something good will come from that guy. What a jerk. All right, we'll come back. We'll get the big deal, small deal, no deal. Brian Gebhardt's going to tell us the one player who could save the dunk contest. And I hope it's true, because I used to really like the dunk contest. We'll find out next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Trillville Thursday. Thanks for being with us. We'll get to Big Deal, Small Deal, No Deal with Brian Gebhardt in just a minute. NFL No Huddle coming up, top of the 11 o'clock hour. And I mean, there's already a lot to talk about, but with this Russell Wilson report coming out from The Athletic, just the plot thickens, man. I know we've talked a lot about this offseason and quarterback movement, and we've already seen unprecedented quarterback movement this offseason with two number one draft picks getting traded for each other, another top draft pick getting traded from a team that drafted him like 4 years ago. And we're not done. I mean, we're not done seeing these quarterbacks on the move. So you were all over this thing a couple months ago saying, don't be surprised if that little shift in the way that they want to take this offense rubs that franchise quarterback the wrong way.
I'm like, man.
It seems to have done that.
It seems like it is, man. It seems like it, man. Of course, we'll get, into a lot of it. But when you think that all the teams that we talk about trading for Deshaun is going to do that for Russell.
I would think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because
Russell's a top five quarterback also.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty similar conversation. Russell's
he's older.
Older, but not – I mean, he's not old, but he's older. His money is I guess I don't know the exact breakdown. I feel like his money is a little bit more over the next couple of years, but Deshaun's got a lot of money coming his way too.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, if you were going to call the Texans about Deshaun Watson – and they're not answering still. Like, that's the report. They're still holding out. They're not even talking to people about it yet.
Yeah. Hang up my phone, boy.
Yeah, exactly. Get off the phone.
Well, yeah, call waiting.
Yeah, you just leave the phone off the hook.
Yeah, man.
Did I hear this right, by the way? You have a fax machine at the house?
Why is that so shocking?
I didn't know people still had those.
Really? Like, we have a machine. We have it's a scanner, printer, fax machine.
Okay. Do you fax stuff?
I haven't faxed anything in a while. I mean, if I have to fax something, Andy, I don't have to go to Kinko's or nothing. Do these
have
Kinko's?
Good. I don't know. I'm not sure if they do. I had to fax something one time, and I had to go to the station to do it. But, yeah. I mean, I just – Wendy was talking about it down the line. I was like, huh, fax machines.
What's wrong with that?
Look, man, you got your bases covered. I don't know what situation still calls for a letter of intent. Like, I don't know.
There are some things that I have to do with other people that.
Oh yeah. Okay. Got
that,
it.
You know, you have to fax in authorization.
Right. They actually need signatures. Yeah. You can't just take a picture of a piece of paper.
Yeah. Dog,
I get it.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I got grown man
it's
stuff.
It's very
Andy.
Nice. Flex on us and explain
yeah, it's called,
to us.
It's grown man stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Understood.
Yeah, grown
understood.
Man stuff.
It's a different tax bracket type stuff. You still have to have a fax machine if you're dealing with that type of thing. I got it. Let's get to a big deal, small deal, no deal.
Damn it.
And now, 92.9 The Game presents Big Deal, Small Deal, or No Deal with Brian Gebhardt on Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Brought to you by Solomon Brothers Jewelers in Buckhead, Alpharetta, online at SolomonBrothers.com or on Instagram at Solomon Brothers. Hey, Brian.
I'm still just getting used to the idea of Randy having a fax machine. I like that he's got to actually use it for some real stuff, because I thought it was the only thing you ever hear about it with is recruiting. So
that's it.
that's where I was just like, and I know Randy's not involved in that. So now is the fax machine right next to the desktop? Is that all in one setup?
Yes, it is, Brian, actually.
I like that. Little old man room over there.
That's I ain't damn good. Old.
Yeah, appreciate that. All right. Speaking of a guy who's not old, definitely not old, and maybe someone who could revive the dunk contest. Big deal, small deal, no deal. The idea of Zion Williamson being in the dunk contest, here's him being asked about that.
And I'll go ahead and bite the bullet, because I know everybody wants to know. There's going to be a limited number of people in Atlanta, and, obviously – there are a few events going on the day of the All-Star game, including the dunk contest. Have you thought about that? Are you participating in that? Whether you want to do that or anything like that?
You know what? I don't even know. Who knows?
That's all I can say. Who knows?
You know.
I might. You never know. Well, who
you
knows?
You know if you're going to be in that thing,
you know. You're the one who knows the answer to that question.
Yeah. I mean, the dunk contest has lost some of it. I think they got a little too cheesy with all the props and all those things. But what else can you do? I mean, it's only humanly possible to do so many things in the air. You know? It's only, you know, and then you see these clips. But I think it's a big deal if he's in it. But you see these clips of these guys on the street just doing these dunks. Why not let them come in it?
Yeah, I mean, is the crazy thing. The best dunks you see now are either in-game dunks where somebody dunks on somebody like crazy, like Anthony Edwards the other night, or these, like, YouTube guys that have somehow found a way to do 720s and, like, backflips and dunk at the same time. And I don't still understand exactly how they're doing that. But, yeah, it kind of has gotten to the point where the creativity, it maybe jumped the shark a little bit where guys could only do so much individual. I mean, when Vince Carter's doing 360 windmills at the same time and putting his whole arm in the rim, there's only so much you can actually do after that. And there's been some great dunks since then, too. But you're right. A lot of it is, all right, I'm going to bring the mascot out, and it's actually my mom in the mascot uniform. And before I do it, I'm going to rip off the jersey, and it's the jersey of the best player ever in franchise history. And I'm going to jump over him. And then the dunk's really not that great.
Yeah, like,
it's just a bunch of stuff for an okay dunk.
It got a little cheesy, yeah.
Yeah, and I hope he does it because I do think that is one way that you could get back into some of the intrigue of the dunk contest is stars.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, that's when they were the best, is when you had guys that were legitimately stars in the NBA.
Not who?
Huh?
You know, when they because usually the best shooters do the 3-point contest.
Right, exactly. They do. So. They do. And I guess the argument is we were talking about this a couple weeks ago on the No Swag Shop, the Facebook Live show every Thursday at 3:00 right here on 92.9 The Game's Facebook Live page.
Hey, that's today.
Today, no exception. If you want to see me, Mike Conti, and Jason Longshore, tune in today at 3. I forgot what I was saying with that long pat on the back. What was I going to say there? Damn.
All right, go ahead, Brian.
Damn. I legitimately lost my train of thought. Wow.
We're all watching if Zion's in it, right? Like, this is going to become a point of viewing for people. People will tune in if he's part of it. So,
here's what it was. People talk about how I don't want to do it because I could get injured. Has anyone ever gotten injured in a dunk contest?
No.
I don't remember that.
No, I've never seen it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh, there it is. I'm glad he found it there, Andy. He would be the biggest star since who to do this? I mean, maybe Dwight Howard, I guess?
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Dwight won it like 10 years ago at the Superman Cape, that was a big deal. It was fun because Dwight was an all-star. I would love it if Zion did it. Let John Morant get in there. Anthony Edwards proved he could do it.
I think Anthony Edwards going to be in it.
That would be awesome if he was in that. Yeah, so hopefully.
Yeah. Now we're talking about something. If you get Anthony Edwards and Zion, that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Moving over to college hoops for a minute. Big deal, small deal, no deal. UNC losing to Marquette last night, 83-70, dropping to 14-8 on the season and being very much in doubt and making the tournament. But the real interaction was in the postgame between Roy Williams and the guy asking this question.
What would you say to Carolina fans who are questioning whether or not it made sense to schedule this game considering the result?
What? Well, if I'd known we were going to lose, God almighty, I wouldn't schedule the thing. Come on, we can't operate in damn hindsight. God almighty. If you'd told me we were going to lose, hell yeah, we wouldn't have played the game. If you'd told me we were going to beat the Lakers, I'd have scheduled them. Carolina fans, they're not that dumb. If they are, I got no answers for them.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Matt! It's big deal. All-time great answer from Roy Williams there. Like, perfectly handled from what was a very bad question.
This ain't no. This is a no deal from the TarHeel.net dork. All right.
Hey, Matt! Gasp!
Oh, my God. And you knew. I bet he was in class all day yesterday, Andy. Leg was just a twitching like this. I got him. Ooh.
If they lose, I'm going to ask
if
him this
If they lose,
question.
I'm going to ask him this one right here. Matt!
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Roy this one.
He probably calls him Roy. Get hell out of here, man.
Great answer from Roy Williams, though.
Great answer.
And, I mean, it's one of those things that's an awesome topic for a blog article.
You know
it's not
what
a
that
good question.
That is a never-played competitive basketball type question.
The other thing, too, that I really don't like, there's a style of question that I think is really kind of soft. When you say, what would you say to, and he said Carolina fans, what would you say to the people that say, what would you say to, are you asking the question or are the people asking the question? I'm unclear. Just ask the question. If you want to ask him a question, just ask him a question. Don't hide behind what would you say to Carolina fans. And I loved his answer, too. He said, if Carolina fans are that dumb, I can't help them. God. Brilliant. Brilliantly handled by Roy Williams. If only his team was as good as his answers were, then he wouldn't have to answer questions like that. They're not good. To go along with a lot of other blue bloods this year that are not good. Deshaun Tate will join us tomorrow, by the way, at 12:20 to talk some NCAA basketball. Don't look now, Randy. Georgia Tech's playing pretty good. Georgia Tech might have a ticket to the dance. They could be getting the NCAA tournament at basketball.
Oh, I mean, they're playing well. They had a big win the other night against Virginia Tech. Congrats. You know how I like Coach Pastor, even though, you know, yeah. But yeah, good for Georgia Tech basketball, man. Somebody got to get in there from the state.
Yeah, I agree. We'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle. Some interesting news from Seattle and the Russell Wilson camp. And you're definitely going to be interested to hear one of the teams that is maybe interested in trading for Russell Wilson. So don't go anywhere. NFL no huddle coming up next.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.